They say the mountains hold the darkest of secrets. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It is good to see you made it back for another episode. Today I am finally bringing back the Southern Unsolved Mysteries series. This time we are visiting one of my favorite states in the South, North Carolina. I have lived there for some time and even visit once or twice every single year. From the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains to the serene coastal views, North Carolina seemingly has a little bit of everything to offer. Today, unfortunately, we are focusing on a more somber part of life in North Carolina. I have investigated three different cases that I feel were all severely underreported on. These cases all remain unsolved to this day. It is my hope, with this series, we can help run up tips to local authorities and help progress these cases in any way we can. As always, if you have a case that you would like to suggest, feel free to comment down below. If you have a more detailed suggestion or resource link, submit those via my website at swampdweller.net. Now, let us get into these unsolved cases from North Carolina. Number 1. Brittany Locklear. This first case is a truly heartbreaking one that I just knew I had to cover from the moment I saw it. I personally have had a similar experience when I was about 8 or 9 years old. Luckily for me though, I was able to escape the situation. Before I move any further, I do feel it is right to put a small disclaimer out there. This case does deal with child abduction, and if you are uncomfortable with that, I will have a timestamp section for you to skip forward. It was the early morning hours of January 7th, 1998, when Connie Chavis and her daughter Brittany Locklear were outside of their mobile home in southern Hokie County, North Carolina, waiting for Brittany's kindergarten school bus to arrive. Sometime while waiting, Connie had to use the bathroom and ran inside for a few minutes to do so. Brittany stayed outside and continued to wait for her school bus. She was only a few yards away from the front door of the mobile home. Connie would return to find that Brittany was nowhere to be seen. Obviously freaked out, Connie began to panic. Luckily, Connie's next-door neighbor, Rose Johnson, said she had witnessed the abduction take place. Rose only lived 500 feet away and would go on to describe the suspect and what she saw. The following is a direct quote from Rose Johnson in 1998. "I saw a quick truck come flying around the curve and down toward Brittany," Rose Johnson said. "It slowed down quickly, and someone hopped out the truck real fast. He bent over like he was picking something up, hopped back in the truck, and drove out of there real fast." Rose would go on to further describe the man as maybe being white, Indian, or possibly another nationality. The truck he drove was brown or tan in color, and it potentially had lights on the roof. This vague description sparked a rather large search effort. Upwards of 500 people volunteered to search the area for Brittany. The Hokie County Sheriff, Wayne Byrd, issued a warning about the man's description and vehicle. County, state, and federal authorities set up roadblocks as well. Hundreds of tips would flood in across the county. Later that same day, searchers found Brittany's clothes and a backpack. That very next day, though, they would discover the naked body of Brittany Locklear. She was found thrown in a drainage ditch on a farm, just 3 miles away from her home. She had been assaulted and drowned. Brittany's parents were cleared pretty much immediately, and investigators focused their efforts on the more than 1,600 tips they had received in just a week's time. Every known child predator in a 50-mile radius was interviewed. This is one of those cases that constantly got stopped as soon as it got started, as so many tips turned out to be nothing of importance. 22 years have passed, and authorities are no closer to solving the abduction and murder of Brittany Locklear. As in many cases like this, the family of Brittany Locklear has grown frustrated with officials and their efforts. The family claims North Carolina officials have used this case for political gain and have not done proper work on the investigation for quite some time. In 2003, a 44-year-old man named Keith Douglas Laundrie was named as a suspect. Keith had recently been arrested on an unrelated robbery charge. When the Fort Bragg Fire Department cleaned out his locker, this was his employer, by the way, they found a picture of Brittany amongst his belongings. Apparently, the photo was a part of a newspaper clipping about her abduction. Officials have not been able to explain why he had this in his possession. DNA samples were taken from Keith, but they did not match the samples found on Brittany's body. The case remains unsolved, but has remained open. If you, or anyone you may know, have any information that could help identify the man who is responsible for this cruel act, please contact Hokie County Sheriff's Department, 910-875-5111. Number 2. Greg Mickey. This second case comes from Brunswick County, North Carolina. The southernmost county in the state with a population of under 143,000 people. It may seem like much may not happen there. Unfortunately though, even in areas with scarce amounts of people, they have their fair share of unsolved tragedy. Greg Mickey and his friends were out at Frying Pan Shoals, diving on June 8, 2005. They were out on a 33-foot boat called the Details. The weather was not well suited for diving that day, though. The ocean was rough, with 5 to 6 foot swells. Sometime in the early afternoon, tragedy would strike. Greg and his diving partner, Andy Alabrio, failed to locate their anchor line at the end of their 110-foot dive when a strong current swept across them. Andy would lose sight of Greg, and a third friend with the group, Colvin Peterson, would make it back to the boat safely. Andy was eventually rescued by the Coast Guard around 9 hours later, somewhere around 4 miles away from their dive site. Greg was never heard from again, though. It is highly believed by officials that Greg took off his buoyancy compensator and his air tank and attempted to swim to the boat. He, of course, never made it. Greg's weight belt was found open 4 days later. Greg was carrying an A.B. Biller spear gun with a wood stock and red coil at the time he disappeared. He is presumed to have drowned, but this remains undetermined. Dozens of searches were undertaken covering 1,000 square miles, and unfortunately, nothing has ever been turned up in means of his remains. Greg was a highly qualified diver who was in full gear and close to his boat when he disappeared. Authorities are baffled how he got into so much trouble, but like they say, nature is unpredictable and can best even the most experienced. If anyone may have any information on the whereabouts of Greg Mickey's remains, please contact Brunswick County Sheriff's Office, 910-253-2777. Number 3. Craig Swain. As a football fan, there is no better time of year than Super Bowl season. I love a fun time with my friends and family while watching some good sports ball. Back in February of 2008, the Super Bowl was among us, and the New England Patriots were taking on the New York Giants in one hell of a classic game. Craig Swain was attending a Super Bowl party on Jones White Road in Washington County, North Carolina. The details of what happened that night are a bit cloudy, but I will do my best to convey this story accurately. Apparently, Craig had hit a car with his truck while trying to leave the party. Craig had gotten into a verbal argument with the other driver and eventually left the party, ditching the scene before any police could come and document the accident for insurance purposes. The person whose car had been hit called the police and then tailed Craig down the road, even getting him to stop twice. Eventually, the police got involved and a high-speed chase began. Now, this is where things get weird and cloudy detail-wise. As they began tailing Craig's truck, they were not even sure it was him driving. The driver did vaguely match Craig's description, and the truck eventually crashed into a mailbox on Deep Creek Road. The driver took off on foot and has never been seen or heard from again. Things would continue to get odd as a couple of days later, police notified Craig's parents to deliver a citation for the hit and run. Craig Swain's parents were surprised that they had not heard from him since the night of the party. Subsequently, Craig has never been heard from again. According to his family and criminal record, Craig had never done anything like this before. It was extremely out of character for him. The story of what truly happened on the night of Craig Swain's disappearance would go cold until authorities announced in June of 2007 that they were now investigating Craig Swain's case as a homicide. They believe Craig may have been killed that same day he went missing. Now, before I go any further, this is the exact reason I wanted to cover this case, and why I mentioned this case was very cloudy detail-wise. It is honestly incredibly hard to discern what is fact and what is fiction in this story. In August of 2017, search parties investigated two properties on Allegood Road, looking for Craig Swain's remains. They never found his body, but they did arrest two men, David Lewis Sr. and David Lewis Jr., on unrelated charges for weapons and drugs. A month later, in September of 2017, Marvin Lewis, who owned one of the properties searched, was also arrested and charged with being an accessory after the fact to the first-degree murder of Craig Swain. This is where the twist really hits. Officials believe Marvin Lewis was the man driving Craig's truck during the high-speed chase, and that Craig had already been killed at that point. Multiple other people would eventually be charged in the murder of Craig Swain, a total of six. The defendants are still awaiting trial, but the reason this case remains unsolved is that a body has never been found. Foul play is highly suspected in this case due to the circumstances. Craig Swain is 5'8" and weighs 165 pounds. He is 39 years of age and has brown hair and brown eyes. If anyone may have any information that may help authorities locate Craig Swain's remains, please contact Washington County Sheriff's Office, 252-793-2422. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Southern Unsolved Mysteries. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps this video out a lot. If you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform, please give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. It is super helpful. If you're new to the channel, why not join us? Be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a case you would like to see me cover in a future video, be sure to comment your suggestions down below. I would love to see what you all have to share. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting The Swamp the way you do. I could not do this without you guys, I really couldn't. If you guys would like to support The Swamp outside of subscribing and hitting that like button, maybe check out the merch store. I have everything from face masks, to t-shirts, to mugs, to hoodies. I would love to see you guys wearing them. Anyways, I would also love to know which case intrigued you the most tonight. Also, down below in the comments, I'd love to see which case tonight was most interesting to you. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.